Hello again, Stigmatine Conference and members of our Stigmatine Laity, and any chance listeners along the highway of life, you're most welcome. I'm here trying to give some insight into the beautiful little charism of Saint Gaspar Bertone. And these first few reflections have been spent on the Trinitarian dimension of his charism. And we saw that he zeroed in on a few special words like mission, service, oblation, and the ministries. And all of these were meant to be total consuming, to give oneself totally, as that old image of St. Joseph's Convent gave to St. Gaspar one Sunday night. He went to give benediction, and maybe a reflection. He saw the painting of the Trinity and the Father's hands extended, sending his Son out in all totality under the hovering of the Holy Spirit. So it became, in my view, a kind of a mystical experience in which he could see in this, what if we had a number of priests willing to go, very competent and very willing, like the noble guard of Napoleon, as some used to describe his ideal. At any rate, we're looking at these words, mission and service of sacrum and ministry. So let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Saint Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So Father Bertone's motivation was that of bringing a never more valuable and competent service to the Church. His ideal was that his followers would offer an ever more costly and competent oblation to the bishops, to God, to the bishops of the Church. As Christ was sent by his Father, so the Son sends his apostles. In the confirming vision of the sacred stigmata of that first Easter night, John 20, verse 20 and following, Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, I am now sending you." And this is the verse, the only one, that mentions the open side of Christ. So the Spirit is sent by the Father and through the Son to remind the apostles of all that Jesus had taught them. "I will send you the Paraclete, and he will remind you," is found in John 16, verses 13 and following. So this icon is one of the lowly and obedient Christ, marked, you could almost say stained, mutilated with his five wounds, totally dedicated to the Father's plan in the Holy Spirit. So this filial love for the Trinity and this missionary love of dedication for the Church is meant to increase as long as life lasts. The Stigmatine is called to be a contemplative at home and a missionary outside, and not confuse the two. These roles might also be understood as each Stigmatine being a contemplative missionary at home and a missionary contemplative outside for the greater glory of God. The entire prayer of the Stigmatine community is missionary. The entire attitude and mentality of every Stigmatine is meant to be that of a missionary. The contemplation of the mystery of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit inspired Father Bertone in his own as apostolic missionary. While prayer energizes the mission is meant to empower the prayer of the apostle. The Christian vocation is an invitation to share in the very mission of the One who received this mission personally from the Father in the Holy Spirit. So therefore, in Father Bertone, the Trinitarian mysticism was never divorced from his asceticism, the vows, common life, daily prayer, real effort at meditation, regular confession. So let's look at these terms individually, namely mission and missionaries, service and oblation, and the ministries. First of all, mission appears in the very first constitution. They appear in a number of Father Bertone's original constitution. In fact, the booklet opens with these words, so well known within the Stigmatine community. In another context, I have spoken rather lengthily regarding the Compendium Rude, which means a general summary, a kind of a outline or table of contents, if you want, of what's coming. It's called Compendium Rude because it's not specified. It's wide open, but just gives the regular the content of what's coming. Our great Stigmatine historian, and I also believe theologian, Father Joseph Stofella, made a great comparison between the Compendium Rude of St. Gaspar Bertone and the formula of St. Ignatius of Loyola. St. Ignatius, like St. Gaspar, had been living with a few gifted, prayerful, holy men for a number of years. And they wanted that work, that society that they had found among each other under the name of Jesus, to be in his company, to be a part of his society, to continue. So in their application for papal approbation, they were told, well, put in a document what you guys believe. And that came to be known as the formula. So St. Ignatius and his companions worked for weeks and months, and they sent relatively brief, maybe 5-10 pages, to the Vatican. And the Holy See kept that. They had meetings over it. The minutes of those meetings have somewhat survived. Like one of the big problems, well, you have a fourth vow to the Pope. Well, everybody's supposed to, but why do you have a fourth one? Well, they said, that's the very reason. Because everybody is in this time of private interpretation. We want to try to live what competent, good men, and to show this. So it passed. And that was sent back as the formula of two popes. The first one sent it back, and they lived then for 10 more years. And as they tried to flesh out the constitutions, some problems arose, so they adapted them. And there was a second formula, which is the one, the definitive one, found as a kind of a preface to the Stigmatine, to the Jesuit constitutions. So in our Compendium Rude, made up of, I think, 9 constitutions, the very first one is this one, and it's a citation. It's from somewhere. The end. The apostolic missionaries at the service of bishops. Secondly, the method, modus, the modality. And we'll look at that in a minute. But what we have here is, in that formula, St. Ignatius himself had written down 5 major points that he wanted in the rule. One was on the end, the purpose. What is the Society of Jesus? Would the society ever get out of the company of Christ, or the company of Christ not be his society? A cheapening of the word. No, both had to go together. So this effort to flesh this out in time. Secondly, so the end, the purpose, the modality, then 2 levels of obedience. And this is distinct to the Jesuits. There's the corporate obedience of the Jesuit superior over his members, and the apostolic obedience, and that's the famous fourth vow. So now we have the end, how to do it, 2 ways of obedience. Then what kind of poverty should it be? Missionary poverty. You get enough to do your job and reasonable recreation, and the rest give away. You don't need it. And finally, a group of miscellaneous things like no habit. Well, this was so different because the monks had a habit, hoods and all of that, that they would use at various times of the liturgy. St. Ignatius didn't want that. His inspiration was to be learned missionaries. And then the great insistence on no habit. So they would dress simply as the better clergy would dress. For example, When the Jesuit went to the Far East, he would dress as a teacher. Maybe with the big, tall, pointed hats and all of that, but that's how they remembered them. And so there was no specific, like the Dominican habit is recognizable, the Carmelite, and so on. But there was no Jesuit habit. One more aspect of the abandonment of St. Gaspar to the mission. Let the mission determine how we should dress. Anyway, so the end was apostolic missionaries at the service of bishops. Well, how do you do that? All right, the method. And this is a direct quote of a decree from the Sacred Congregation of the Propagation of the Faith, dated December 20th, 1817. So it's 200 years, this December 20th, the first day of winter. And it's a quotation naming St. Gaspar an apostolic missionary. What does that mean? Well, we have today a papal preacher of some renown, Father Cantalamessa. I think he's a capuchin, a brilliant orator, and a really solid theologian. So he's been called papal theologian. Well, in the church, there was long time a dignity where one could become an apostolic missionary, and in two ways. One way was to go around preaching parish missions, which Father Gaspar did. It was one of his apostolates. But St. Francis Xavier was an apostolic missionary. In other words, it also meant total dedication to the interests of the church in any form whatsoever, anywhere in the world, any possible way in which we can promote the word of the Lord. So as you'll notice in this quotation, there are six or seven words that indicate submission to the church. That's the modality. So here's what we read. The modality. How do we do this? Under the direction and dependence of the ordinaries of those places in which the missions are given, the stigmatine shall wholeheartedly obey these orders, these ordinaries, in everything which pertains to the exercise of the apostolic ministry. First, getting their consent, then the necessary faculties, then always observing their wishes as to the place and time of exercising their ministry. So, sadly, this constitution has been one of great suffering in the community. Many seriously consider this to mean primary. We're primarily for parish missions. And others see in this a much broader understanding. And that this, as St. Ignatius quoted the Vatican in his original constitution with the formula, well, this is our formula, to have this total direction, deference, dependence, obedience, getting success, getting the faculties, always observing what they want us to do. So this is our, you might say, thorn in the flesh that has bothered us for centuries. So Father Stofela offers an explanation in his note here. This is the end toward which the congregation tends, namely, the lifelong formation of individuals who by their zeal and broad apostolic traits would merit the name apostolic missionary. So the entire subsequent structure of the constitutions, like those of St. Ignatius of Loyola, Father Bertone's great model, then develops develops his ideals of this apostolic mission. For example, number 7. There shall be a distinction of classes and promotion to a class that shall be determined according to the qualities of the subjects. Those who excel in learning and piety shall be promoted to the perfection of the priestly ministry undertaking the apostolic mission. Others, however, who have sufficient strength and talent, both physical and spiritual, will be promoted to the perfect assistants or helpers of the missionaries. This, too, created an enormous difficulty, maybe more so for the Jesuits than for us. What it simply means is that the purpose of the ministry of the stigmatine is priestly ministries, and that this ongoing formation, before someone would really excel in learning and piety, and it takes time. And the ordinary time frame in our brief history was at least to be 40 years of age, 15, or in some cases, almost 20 years of priesthood. And it was up to the naming of the Father General named who these people were. But as we go along in our history, Father Luigi Bragato, who was sent by St. Gaspar as the alderman or the spiritual director of the Italian Empress in the House of Habsburg, he was considered an apostolic missionary. And the great theologians that we had, and the great teachers, the people who served in the seminaries, along with giving parish mission. So the dispute cannot be resolved by historical words. I mean, it's just a feeling people have, and I think in honesty the majority view, particularly in Italy and in Brazil, would be parish missions. My fear is that it lowers entirely the need of further study, further development of competence, because the parish mission is practically non-existent in America. And I don't know how you could give a parish mission in mission countries like in Thailand. Maybe there's a way. In my ignorance, I just know how you could do it. Because to have a mission, you want to elevate all phases of a parish. And the parishes we have in some of these lands are also tourist centers. And the parishes are filled on Sunday. But anyway, that's a whole other discussion beyond my competence and my knowledge. So we'll leave it there. So even though classes of membership had been abolished by Vatican II, the spirit of the founder has to remain here. There has to be a gradual assumption of the more important duties, graviora ministeria. As one progresses spiritually and intellectually, he must also progress apostolically. And we saw that in our recollections in this series on progress in the charism of St. Gaspar. This is ongoing formation, continuing education, continuing study, which is a very easy thing to lose, because there's not a great deal of joy for a busy parish priest or anyone to study seriously. But that's the penance. That's what St. Gaspar seems to him be asking of us. So as the gradual promotion of the members according to Father Gaspar's constitutions go on, here'd be a number of prescriptions from Part 5 of what is meant here. For example, Constitution 74. At times, the young stigmatine candidates shall accompany the missionaries as aides, like today, I suppose, giving out booklets or something like that, or guide people coming in, assist like they can, all that sort of thing. And at times, they shall also hear the confessions of women. In those days, a priest could not hear confessions of women until he was 40 or 10 years as a priest. But the next number, number 75, then these stigmatines will go and hear the confessions of women regularly. Then they'll be assigned to serving the missions, not just as aides of the missionaries, but serving the mission itself. Finally, these stigmatines will be entrusted with the direction of the missions and make use of all means needful for the salvation of souls. So this progress seems to be built into this one aspect of the rule, and I find it everywhere. In Part 9, on the grade of the professed, the highest grade was called the apostolic missionary. There is a description of what the professed members are supposed to do, the means by which the Institute promotes the salvation of others would be the following. This is Constitution 162. Administration of the sacraments, especially of penance and Eucharist, that needs priesthood. Beseeching God, even by the celebration of Masses, to grant the fruit of the preaching and the confessions. So, this constitution includes the Ignatian ideal of offering Mass for the mission, which may be found in Book 1 of Suarez. It comes from his discussion regarding the institution of the Society of Jesus defending. This is what we do. And in particular, regarding those means by which the company of Jesus reaches its purpose. I don't think any Benedictine prays the breviary that he might pray it better. I think we do that, but not because of the liturgy of the hours. I think anyone would do that. Anyway, throughout, there is much emphasis on the ministry of the Word of God, assisting the priestly and the consecrated ways of life, working with the youth. Mission appears both in the singular and in the plural. So there is an ideal missionary with many, many ministries, as we'll see. Secondly, service. As we've already said, that when St. Ignatius wrote his rule, he wrote it in Spanish, and he verbalized his own mysticism of service by repeating the same Spanish verb, servir, I think it's 1,200 times. In the Latin translation, his secretary, the great Father Polanco, varied the founder's rendition with three Latin verbs and their substantives, servire, servitium, auxiliari, auxilium, obsequi, obsequium. So these are all synonymous, but for whatever reason, Father Polanco favored the word obsequium, which is a Eucharistic word. Make of your body an oblation to the mercy of God. So Father Bertone speaks of service time and time and time again. For example, in Constitution 3. What is the purpose of this dignity? To serve God and the Church gratuitously. This is the special vow part. We don't want stipends. If they come, fine. When we don't go, well, how much can you give us? What is your sin? We haven't fully lived that, to tell the truth. In developing the requirements for admission, St. Gaspar emphasizes more and more this willingness and the capacity to serve. There are some who cannot do this, and that it wouldn't be a vocation. There's no triumphalism that one may be called to this, but that has to be really uppermost in their minds. Number 26 of St. Gaspar's Constitution would tell us what this service means. Those who are accepted to do the work of the priestly ministry must have fitness of memory and be desirous of virtue and spiritual perfection. They should be of peaceful character, active, constant in whatever they undertake for the service of God. They need to have zeal for the salvation of souls and a great love for this congregation. I remember once how deeply impressed I was with Pope St. John Paul II in Rome. One Ash Wednesday, or the days before, he gave a little talk to us priests in Rome. And he said to us, if a priest ever loses the zeal, apostolic zeal, he said the vocation dies. It's fatal to the priesthood to the service of a priest, to be zealous for the kingdom of God and so on. So the next word is obsequium, and we could spend forever on that, but I'll just give a few insights as to what it is. Anyway, in St. Ignatius's Constitutions, there's abundant use for this synonym, of this word, for synonym for service, obsequium. It is used in the founder's terms for presenting the end of the community. It is found very often in his writings, frequently in his constitutions, and I have footnotes in this accompanying document that would bear this out. It's from the opening constitution that defines Stigmatines as Missionari Apostolici in obsequium, seo auxilium, and I could say seo servitium. It's a Eucharistic term that would offer some insight into the relationship of loving obedience of Jesus Christ and his oblation to his Father. That's the model. That's the icon. That would be like the Stigmatine Transfiguration. We see Jesus being handed over by his Father. The Latin Vulgate uses it in a key text of St. Paul, where he asks the Romans to make of their bodies a living oblation to the mercy of God. Father Bertone quotes it verbatim from Suarez when he describes the distribution of studies, for example, number 57. Therefore, there shall be those individuals who specialize in one or another of these branches of knowledge for a longer time and with a greater diligence. This is of the utmost importance for the various services, advaria, ecclesiae, obsequia. We must render to the church according to the diversity of time and circumstances. We don't have, in my view, a prime stigmatine apostolate. We have to find what is the need of the diocese through the bishop. So this Constitution 57 speaks of the characteristic variety of the services, always to be determined by the changing times, the changing needs of the church. When speaking of promoting studies within the congregation, the founder uses this precious rule of prudence that study may go on for a longer time. For example, in number 62, it is incumbent on the superior to see to it that the students do not apply themselves to study at times that are harmful to their physical health, that each of them gets enough sleep, that they observe due moderation in their studies in order that they may devote themselves for a longer time to mastering the arts and services on behalf of the church. And the word there is in ecclesiae obsequio. Again, this is a key word in Suarez's text, who in turn has taken it from the Constitutions of St. Ignatian, St. Ignatius, part 4, chapter 4, number 1. With a notable exception, the text from St. Ignatius ends ad maiorem Dei gloriam, whereas for St. Petronius it is in obsequium ecclesiae. It's the same thing, the greater glory of God or the service of the church. So once again, this Constitution 62 is a word-for-word text of Father Suarez. The Divine Son, who has come to serve and not to be served, whose food is the Father's will, John 4:34. He remains the model, the source, the goal, the grace, and I could also add, the transfiguration of the apostolic mission, this service rendered to God through the church. So we won't spend much time in this conference, we'll return to it in the next one. The interchange between ministry and ministries. The ministry, I believe, is to imitate Christ. The ministries is what we do, whether it be teaching or whether it be serving or spiritual direction, the wide variety of services of the Word of God, especially to priests and to religious, to different societies, spiritual societies like the Stigmatines played a very instrumental role in the Folclorini, that lay mission society of Italy. And the reason is because the Stigmatine, Father John Baptist Tomasi, was their first spiritual director. And that came about because they started in the Diocese of Trent, where Archbishop Carlo de Ferrari, the Stigmatine, was the Archbishop. So he gave the initial approval. As we speak now, there is a recent study on the Folclorini and many, many very laudatory pages regarding the humble Stigmatine service. I saw it happen. We were students from October 12, 1952, and the founders of this group used to come to see Father Tomasi, who was a delightful old man. He was 89 at that time, and we used to see him going off to bed right after supper. Any question you would ever ask him in theology, he could answer. He was a model. He died 6-8 months after we got there, but I served his last Mass. So I'll wrap this up now. In the next reflection, we'll look a little more deeply into the terms ministry and ministries, both the singular and the plural. It offers an extraordinary insight into Father Bertoni's charism. So a rapid survey of its Stigmatine Founders Constitution would show both subjects manifest a plurality of proper apostolates. So I'll end now with a prayer. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, that was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, holy spouses Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertoni, please pray for us all. And thank you all for listening. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.